All righty. 1955, Brother Van Dyne and Mrs. Van Dyne came to town, had a couple of kids with them at that time, and our church was known as Calvary Baptist Church. It was, I think at the time, just a handful of folks meeting in a storefront building. Very shortly, they had a abandoned theater building just off the square up here, right next to where the Ledger, Fairfield Ledger newspaper office is right now. Along about 1958, he reached a family by the name of Kraft. You're familiar with them? You know them, don't you? All right. And a lady by the name of Ingalls, too. He was able to reach her along about that time. And 1958, he reached a family called Parker. And man, they had trouble ever since. That's right. Well, that Parker guy that he reached in 1958 was my dad. Shortly thereafter, my dad started telling me that I could be just as if I had never sinned. And I was 6 years old when my dad set me down on the couch in the living room at 51 East Stone over by the cemetery and explained to me that I needed to be saved. I was a neighborhood brat. I've said that many times. And I've had people from the neighborhood who reminded me of that not that long ago. But but anyway, you know, my dad talked to me, and I said, I'd like to be saved. And this is the man he called, and Brother Van Dyne came over 1959 then at the whopping old age of 6 years old. And I was led to the Lord, knelt at a little blue-green footstool, not quite the size of the top part of this pulpit, and this is a man led me to Christ. And I never got over it. The Lord's been good ever since. It's been 54 years ago, and He never, ever, ever, ever left me. And had to remind me a few times the hard way that He hadn't left me. All right? But He's been faithful, and I'm grateful for all that Brother Van Dyne has done in my life and the things He's taught me and all that. Between him and his family, his ministry, and so on and so forth, and the leading of the Lord in his life, and thus the leading of the Lord for our church is what got me my wife through camp, and of course got my kids from her, and it's all, you know, it all goes back because I got saved. It all started with the Lord, and this is the man that led me to the Lord. Very, very grateful to him. And appreciate his ministry. I just stand in admiration of his ministry over the years and the influence over the world that this man has had, the way that God has used him. So I'm glad that y'all have come this morning to hear him preach. So Brother Van Dyne, you come preach the Bible to us. We're so grateful to have you with us.
Thanks, Lord. Oh, my. What a blessing to be able to be here with you folks. We have a great God, don't we? Able to do exceeding abundantly above all we'd ask or think. And only the Lord knew what would happen when we came to Fairfield 58 years ago. And only He was the one that could make things go. And the fact that many, many of you were reached and have been reached through the years, thank you, Pastor Parker, for letting us come again today and speak here today. And truly a blessing. And, you know, I hope the Lord will help me not to get so emotional. It's difficult when you see all you folks that have meant so much to us. And your prayers and your giving, even the last few years, have enabled us to keep doing what we've been doing. And as you know, for a little over 6 years, the wife and I have been privileged to go overseas and minister to our American military. So there are many wonderful churches like this that exist. Thank God that our military families have the privilege of coming to a service like you do, singing the songs, having their children being taught the Word of God, and you know, it's just I've been amazing. Whenever a pastor need to come back 2 or 3 months, why, we go over and fill in. Last year, we were away from home 8 months. We were in Germany more last year than we were in the United States. And so some of the times there was a time between pastors. A pastor, maybe because of his health, returned to the States. And so we were there to fill in to a new pastor came along. And so that happened a couple of times, I believe, last year in Italy and in Germany. And so we've been to, the first time we went to Japan for 3 months in 07 and 08. And saw folks saved, was able to baptize. We just go in and we just function like a pastor. And so when the pastor's not there, we help visit, lead folks to the Lord, baptize, and just try to teach and to help them. And so it's been an amazing ministry, the people that we have reached. And this year, we've only been gone 2 months. And the director said, well, maybe after the first of the year, we may need you again. So we never know when we're going to be needed. And when you get 42 years of age, the second time, you just never know, what's going to happen. But I guess most of you know my wife. She's back there. Would you stand, hon, back there? And there she is, that beautiful young lady that I brought to Fairfield 58 years ago. But she's been such a blessing and such a help. But, you know, we appreciate so much how God has used your pastor here. And what a blessing to know that you folks are hearing what you need to hear. And we also know, as pastors and workers in the ministry, that the church wouldn't be here if it wasn't for folks like you that want to hear the Word of God, and you apply the Word of God to your life, and you see what God is able to do for you, and in you, and with you. And so thank God for you folks that are staying by the stuff here, and that this work is continuing on like it is. This is not an easy time. The days are different today than when we came here 58 years ago. But thank God that he's still working, just as you heard. My, what a blessing to hear that Mr. Forrest accepted Christ as his Savior. So we appreciate the pastor taking the stand that's in a day that's not easy. And you that are staying by it, and thank you again for all that you have meant to us as we've been able to go and minister to these military families overseas. What a blessing they are. Of course, we're like Grandpa and Grandma to them. And I was asking one of the ladies last year in Germany, a child there with her, and I said to her, when were your parents born? And she told me, and I had been preaching before that child's grandparents were born. Kind of makes you feel like you may be getting old, you know. But God has blessed us. The ministry to the American military there. The last time that when we recently came from Germany here just back in May, as we got over the first week, why, Pastor Kraft, as you know, is now in Okinawa now, and so he had told the fellas, Brother Van Dyne likes to visit. So they had me lined up, guys visiting, you know, each night. The first week we went out and was able to win a man to Christ. And this fella knew that he needed to get saved because he had someone witnessing to him that was from the church. And so it was easy to lead him to the Lord. But to see how God had worked in his heart, and then on his Facebook, the next morning he had written out and he said, I haven't been much of a religious guy, but he said, last night I received Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. And so he was very bold and seemingly wanted to get in and serve the Lord, and had the privilege of baptizing him, and his wife got saved, and one of his children got saved. And so, you know, it is a tremendous blessing. A year ago, we were there just before we came home, just before Christmas. And so we were in their services there. We'd been in Spangdahlem, Germany. And that afternoon we drove over and we're in their services. And they wanted an older couple to read the Christmas story to the children. So they gathered all of the little children up around on the platform, and the wife and I took turns reading the Christmas story to them. And I thought, boy, here I am, 83 years of age at that time, and wife and I, in Germany, the privilege of reading the Christmas story to our military families. Boy, what a blessing. God's been so good. Thank you for your prayers. Thank you for your faithful support. We don't know how long God will allow us to do this. We still are in a good church over in Plymouth, Indiana. And we have the privilege of visiting and counseling and winning souls to Christ even over there. But the wife and I had the privilege there in our last time in Germany, both of us leading someone to Christ. And so God is good. We know this. Nothing about us. It's God. God, take little old insignificant individuals like myself, like Brother Parker. Take us and use us. Amazing. Nothing about us. It's all about Him. And so I believe the last time I was here, maybe Pastor Parker was mentioning, I used to hold up the Bible and said, this is the Word of God. Well, that's what I want to preach to you about today. It was the Bible. And if you turn with me to the book of 2 Timothy. The book of 2 Timothy. And actually, God gave me these thoughts when I was in Spangdahlem, Germany last year. And late last year. And I enjoyed bringing this message to them. And so I wanted to hear it again. And so if you don't mind, so I can preach it and hear it again, you get in on it too. And so we just want the Lord to be magnified and to be glorified. And what I'm saying about the Bible here actually can be said about Jesus Christ. The Bible is the written word. Jesus is the living word. And I'll begin here in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and read a few verses. And actually, Paul, the Apostle Paul, is writing to a young man, Timothy. And he had great confidence in Timothy. And he comes down to verse 13 of chapter 3 and he says, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned, and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned it, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures. That means the Bible's a sacred book, and which is able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. In other words, tells you what's right, tells you what's wrong, tells you how to get right, tells you how to keep right. And so that the man of God may be perfect. In other words, he'll be fitted for use if you apply this book to your life. And he said, truly furnished unto all good works. Furnished means you'll be equipped for service. And so you'll be fitted for use. You'll be equipped for service with this book. And he said, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word, the instant in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come, they'll not endure sound doctrine. But after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. They want certain ones and tell them what they want to hear. And so he says, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. For I am now ready to be offered. Time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, not to me only, but unto all them that love his appearing. Let's pray. Father, thank you for everything that you have done for each of our lives. Thank you, Father, for your precious leadership. Thank you, Heavenly Father, that you've given us the privilege to be here and fellowship with these folks and preach to these folks again today. Lord, you know our hearts. We know the Word of God is able to meet the needs. Christ is able to meet the need. We just sang a while ago, Christ is all we need. You know the need that's here today. There may be someone that needs to get something fixed up in their lives. Maybe someone that has never trusted Christ. May this be the day. Father, those that have been saved and serving you, encourage their hearts. Bless them. Continue to bless the pastor. Guide in our lives that we'll be faithful to you till Jesus comes. And so guide us in this service. We'll thank you for what you accomplish. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, I do want to speak to you about the Bible. As I was there in Spangdahlem, Germany, and studying, and I began thinking about the word never in regards to the Word of God. And then I looked in the dictionary to remind myself what that word never means. It means not ever. It also means at no time. And it means not at all. And it means in no case. And under no conditions. And to no degree. So I began thinking about the word never in the Word of God. And of course, first of all, I was thinking that there's never been another book like the Bible. Never. At no time. Not to any degree has there ever been a book like the Word of God. And so its source, it is the Word of God. We just read it a while ago. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. And so we know its source. We know that it's safe. We know it's true. It's truth. Many turn away from the truth, but it is true. Many don't want to hear the Word of God. And so we also realize that it is sufficient. It is what you need. Now, again, as I said, what you say concerning the Bible, you can also say concerning Christ. Because we realize He is God. We realize He is the truth. We realize He is sufficient. He's all that you need. You might not have anything else in this world, but if you have your Bible and you have Christ, you got everything you need. And so you and I realize that it is an amazing book. Just as Paul was telling Timothy there. And of course, it's satisfying. There's nothing that can do for you what this word can do. And you can apply it to your life. You find that it's going to meet the need. Of course, it came from the word, Bible came from the word, Greek word, Biblos, and which means the book. And so it is giving that name because of its preeminence over every other book. It is the book. And so one was dying there years ago, I don't forget his name, but he said to his son, bring me the book. And the one that was dying had offered many books. And so his son says, which book? And he said, there's only one book. That's the Bible. And so regardless what hour it is in your life, you'll find that it's a satisfying book. And so what a great book. It never been another book like it. Not ever, at no time, not at all. In no case, under no conditions, and to no degree has there ever been a book like this book. It is the Word of God. And so thank God for it, that it's preached here, that I've heard it, that I realize my need because of this book. And you will never meet a person that doesn't need the Bible. Never will. I've been in a lot of countries in the world and preached many times through an interpreter, but this book was all I needed. And I never did meet a person that didn't need this book. I've met a lot of different people, not a lot of different countries, and a lot of airports, and a lot of places on visitation, but I never, ever met a person that didn't need this book. And you will never need meet anyone, you see, that doesn't need this book. This is the book that I heard when I realized I was a sinner. And I realized I was on the road to hell. And I realized Jesus loved me. And that he died for me. We sing that little song, you know, Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. So I know God loves me. I know he loves everybody that I meet. And I know that he loves you today. I know that he loves us in spite of what we are, in spite of the sins that we committed. He doesn't love many things we do, but he always loves us. And so I'm glad that I have heard the word of God, and every person needs to hear it, because without hearing the word of God, you're not going to get saved. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How are they going to call on him who they've not heard? You say, or not believed. And how are they going to believe unless they've heard? And how are they going to hear unless someone tells them? So someone had to tell me, I had to hear, I had to know, and then I believed that Jesus Christ died for me and I could be saved if I could trust him. So everyone needs to hear the Bible. It doesn't make any difference where it is in the world. Thank God for missionaries and those who are faithful in giving out of the Word of God. So it doesn't make any difference where you go, who you meet, they're going to need the Bible. You can leave them a tract. Maybe that's all you have the opportunity of doing. And so they need to hear. So sinners and saints need to hear the Word of God. And I don't know how long you may have been saved, but you need to hear the Word of God. And here I am, one of the older pastors in our church there in Indiana on Father's Day. I was the oldest father there. But the oldest father there needed to hear the Word of God just like everybody is. You never get to a place where you don't need to hear the Word of God. So everyone needs, you see, you'll never meet a person that doesn't need to hear the Word of God. And you'll never be in a situation where you can't find help in the Bible. You'll never be in a situation. Many of us have been in different situations, but we are never in a situation, you see, where we can find help in the Word of God. Isn't it amazing? You go through some devastating times. But if you get into the Word of God and ask God to speak to your heart, he'll do it. You'll find there's help. You will never, now remember again, not ever, at no time, not at all, in no case, under no conditions, to no degree, will you ever be in any situation in life but what you will find help in the Word of God. May not mention especially that which you're going through, but you know that God can use some things there to speak to your heart and remind you, though sometimes it wasn't spoken to you, it is spoken for you. And you can claim that promise. I don't know what we may go through before we leave this walk of life, but I know this, that I'll find some help in this Bible, whatever it is. And all that God may let us go through. So you'll never be in a situation. Now, in other words, you turn in here and you're going to find the mind of God. You see, God says, your thoughts are not my thoughts. Your ways are not my ways. And you turn in here, you find the mind of God. You'll see some things in there sometimes you don't want to hear, but you know you need to hear it. And then at time, again, you will also see the heart of God. So any situation that you're going through, you look in here and God reminds you of his heart. He reminds you how much he loves you. He reminds you of the promises that are made to you. And he'll remind you of that power that he has because he's God. And you'll see his heart. You'll see his compassion. You'll see he wants to forgive you when you're failing. You see that he wants to guide you when you need guidance. He'll strengthen when you need the strength. He'll be to you whatever you need him to be. You see, so you'll see the heart of our God. It is hard for us to imagine. You may lose some precious loved one, but you'll see that the heart of God, he cares. He says, cast all your care upon him, for he cares for you. And also, when you look into the Word of God in any situation, you'll see the will of God. You see what God's will is. You see God's ways. You see his acts. You'll see how God works. And if you want to know the will of God for your life, go in here and ask God to show you and read, and he'll speak to your heart. And you'll experience then, as you look to God and his word, you'll experience the hand of God. God's hand will be upon your life. He'll bless you and he'll strengthen you and help you. And then you'll be encouraged to walk with God. And so you see what kind of God he is, and whatever situation you're in, you say, I'm just going to walk with him, follow him, look to him. So you'll be encouraged to trust God when you in any situation, you see. You'll never be in this situation. No, at no time, under any circumstance, in no case will you ever be in a place where you can't find help from the Word of God. You'll see the mind of God, the heart of God, the will of God, the hand of God. You'll learn to trust God. You'll see what God can do for you and how he'll see you through all situations. You'll never, never find a person who loves the Bible with a messed up, miserable life. Never. Yes, I know there's a lot of lives messed up. Yes, I know there are many miserable lives. But the person that loves the Bible, you'll never see his life messed up. Never see him miserable. He'll go into the Word of God. He'll take those words that are there and apply them to his life. He'll trust God, and he does not have a messed up, miserable life. Sometimes you've known people who faithfully served God in the past, and then they got away and no longer serving him. You ask them, you find out, you'll find the first thing that happened, they neglected the Word of God. So you realize when our life is messed up, when we get miserable, it's because we've not been in the Word of God like we should, and we have not applied it like we should. Now, the devil is a great deceiver. You and I realize we're in a world that appeals to the flesh. And we realize the flesh is weak. And we need this book. And so he said, you know, Jeremiah said, thy words were found, and I did eat them, and thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of my heart. The psalmist says, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his ways is by taking heed unto according to thy word. He said, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against it. No, your life won't get messed up and miserable when you take the word of God and apply it to your life. Job says, I have esteemed the words of thy mouth more than my necessary food. You see, this we all like to get down and eat. I still do. Thank God I can meet about anything and I like about anything. But what I need most is this book. I like to eat a little breakfast every day, but I like to get in this book every day. I need this book. It's going to do something for my life. It's going to cleanse my life. It's going to help me. It's going to convict me. It's going to guide me. It's going to bless me. It's going to protect me. It's going to cleanse me. It's going to comfort me. You see, I need this book. And as long as I'll stay in this book and apply the truths to my life, it won't get messed up. I don't want my life to get messed up. After all these years and God's been so good to me, I don't want my life to get messed up. So I've got to stay in this book. I don't care how young you are, how old you are, you need this book every day. And so Jesus said, man not live by bread alone, but by every word proceeds out of the mouth of God. And so the devil, there's never been a book that the devil hated like he hates the Word of God. He knows this Word is going to do something for your life. We met some folks in Australia years ago, and that from Russia. And, you know, they're over there. They didn't want the Bible there in Russia. They said, if we let that book in our country, it would change our country. Boy, they are right. It'll change your country. It'll change your life. It'll change your home. There's not ever been a book like this book, the Word of God. So you and I, we can apply it to our lives. We can see what the Lord is able to do. It'll never need to be changed. I don't know, King James Version, good enough for me. My wife and I down in South Carolina went to a Presbyterian church where they observed the 400th anniversary of the King James Version. And so, for me, I know what it's done for me. I know what it's done for others. And I just want to preach it. I just want to believe it. I know that it centers around the Lord. So like I was saying, these truths we can also apply as to Jesus Christ. There's never been a book like the Bible. There's never been a person like Jesus Christ. And there's never been a person in the world that didn't need the Bible. There's never been a person in the world that didn't need Jesus Christ. There's never been a situation that you're in this life, but what the Bible will help you. There's never been a situation you're in, but what Christ will help you. So we sang it again a while ago, Christ is all I need. Folks, Jesus Christ is everything that you need today. And he'll take you all through this life and through every situation. And so, again, I might mention that you will never find a person who loves the Bible that doesn't want it to be heard. If you love the Word of God and know what it means, you want others to know about it. Now, my wife had problems with bronchial infection and coughing, and thank the Lord, recently we found a specialist who was able to take care of that. But, if anyone come along and say, this will help with that problem, well, they want to share it with you when they see that you have a problem medically. And so the same with any of us. If we knew somebody had a problem we had and we'd found the remedy, we'd want to share it. And we have found the Word of God meets the needs of our heart. And so we want to share the Word of God. And just like Timothy, Paul said to Timothy, preach the Word of God. And so it is what is needed. And so pass out literature. Keep on giving to missions. Keep on knocking on doors. Keep on preaching and teaching the Word of God, you see. Let others know that the Bible is the Word of God. Christ is all that you need. Again, you will never find a person that is frustrated about the times who studies and believes the Word of God. These are difficult times we're living in. And you lived as long as I lived, and you don't even have to live as long as I live to see the changes that are made in society. The things that's going on in the world. The people say, oh, well, what's happening? What's going on? Well, Paul said to Timothy, in the first part of chapter 3 of 2 Timothy, this know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. He went on to say men will be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection. That kind of takes in a crowd that we know today that's wanting to get more and more prominent in our society without natural affection. Reminds us of the abortions, you see. And so he goes on and tells you what it's going to be like. What I'm saying is you and I are not frustrated about the times that we're living in. I believe Jesus could come at any time. I believe everything is moving along under God's control. And one day, Jesus Christ is coming. Like for him to come before, like the fellow says, I'm looking for the upper taker, not the undertaker. And so I'd like to see him come, would you? And so you and I know that we're facing that time when Jesus could come at any moment. So be faithful in the house of God. Remember in Hebrews 10:25, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together as a manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. Yes, we understand what's happening. We understand the day is approaching. And so we want to be faithful to Jesus Christ and do everything that we can for his honor and his glory. Well, you'll never find a person afraid to meet God who believes and obeys the Bible. Some people may be afraid to meet God. Some Christians may be ashamed to meet God. John talked about not to be ashamed, you know, in 1 John chapter 2 and verse 28. Christians are not to be ashamed when he comes. Be living like he wants you to live in spite of what the world is doing. Keep on doing what you know God wants you to be doing, and living like God wants you to live, practicing what you know God wants you to practice. So you're not ashamed. You're not afraid to meet God. Remember what we read down here in chapter 4 and verse 8. There, the Apostle Paul knew he was about to ready to meet God. And he said that in verse 7, he said, I've fought a good fight. I've finished my course. I've kept the faith. Henceforth, there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, not to me only, but unto all that love his appearing. Paul wasn't afraid to meet God. In fact, he said, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. He said, I desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. You will never, at no time, not at all, in no case, under no condition, to no degree, find a person afraid to meet God who has accepted Jesus Christ as his Savior and is living like God wants him to live. Thank God for what he is able to do for us, you know, and the way God is able to use us and bless us. I read some time back about some ones that went off to service and a couple of boys that knew one another. One was kind of a poor boy, and the other one was kind of, he was a rich fella. But just the fact that he had known the son of a rich man brought him into a place, when that son died, brought him into a place of being heir, you know, of all these things that he would have inherited. And so God, I was reading where one soldier came back to the father who had lost his son, and knocked on the door. Well, the one that came to the door said, well, he's not really seeing anybody. this father that lost his son, he said, well, I'd like to see him. I have something for him. And so he'd actually, as a one that could draw, and had drawn a portrait of this son. And so when he went in, he presented that to this father. This father had all kinds of valuable things in the house, and paintings, portraits, and so forth. But this became more valuable to him than anything else. And when he died, there, of course, this fellow had someone working for him. And then they had an auction, and they had all these valuable pieces to be auctioned. Auctioneer started out with the drawing of this son. And they said, well, who will make a bid for this drawing? No, they weren't. No one was interested in that drawing. They were interested, you see, in the valuable things that were there to them. And so finally, this one fellow that worked for him, he didn't have much money, but he said, well, he would give $10. And all the people had been saying, you know, well, let's get on with the auction, get on with the auction. And so finally got that $10 bid, and so he sold for $10. Now then they said, let's go on, let's get with this auction. The auctioneer said, it's over. So what do you mean it's over? It was the one that died, it was his wish that the one that would take the son would get all. Folks, when you take Jesus, you get everything. Thank God that you can come to him. We were down in South Carolina, and there was a lady that gave my wife some tickets to a meal and a time of entertainment around Christmas time. And it was an 8-course meal. This time lasted for 3 hours in a Presbyterian church. We sat down, we had good seats down in the front. There was 500 people there that night. 500 had been there the night before. And to me, this was a different Presbyterian church. They gave you a bulletin when you went in, and on the back of it said, if you have not personally received Jesus Christ as your Savior, see one of our staff afterwards. I couldn't believe. Here's a fundamental Bible-believing Presbyterian church. But the food they would bring in on great platters, you know, and they had a king on the stage there, all dressed up and with his crown, and everything was done first class. Well, during the time, there was a beggar. The old beggar, before we went in, he tried to get our tickets. When you get in, he was always pestering you, trying to do something. This old dirty beggar, you see. Well, come to the end of the service, they recognized all of those who had a part in this time. Well, the beggar stood up there with them. And here come a fellow out with a big sword. And he said to him, he said, you're not one of us. You're just a dirty, stinking beggar. And you deserve to die. The king that was sitting up there said, well, now, wait a minute. Having come up and sit at my table, Hagar falls down and says, oh, King, I don't deserve to sit at your table. He said, that's all right. You come on up and I'll put my son's cloak upon you. He went up and he put the cloak around it. He sat down and the king now took to the platter and he says, now eat, eat. I hope you get the picture. You and I, the dirty, stinking beggars, deserve to die. But God says, come on, let me put Christ's robe of righteousness upon you. And you can sit at my table. And you can have everything you need. Eat. That like tore me up. I couldn't believe I was in a Presbyterian church. But I got the message. And I realized that's what happened. One day God says, come. You're nothing but an old stinking beggar. You come to me, I'll clothe you with the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And you can have a life that you've never known before. Thank God for Calvary, where Jesus shed his blood and purchased my salvation. Thank God that he's given me the privilege to live for Jesus Christ. I wonder if your heads are bowed and eyes are closed this morning. There's never been a book like the Bible. There's never been a person like Jesus Christ. He loves you. He knows your need today. You'll never be in a situation but what he'll be there to help you. You'll find help in the Bible, the Word of God. If you're here today, maybe you came with a heavy heart. Maybe you came feeling there's no use, there's no hope. Yes, there is. Because the Bible tells us so. Jesus Christ wants to meet your need today. Jesus Christ wants to change your life. He wants to change your home. He wants to be in this church and continue to use this church for his honor and his glory. Oh, let's surrender to him. Let's trust him. Let's lean on him. And so I wonder who's here today. Say, preacher, God has spoken to my heart today. And just like for you to pray for me, would you slip up that hand? Slip up that hand. Say, pray for me. I'm saying you may be already saved, but you say, God spoke to my heart. And pray for me. Yes, God bless you. Who else would slip up that hand and say, God bless. Pray for me. Yes. I see those hands. Yes, God can meet your need today. It may be that you feel when we begin to sing this morning that you just need to slip down here and kneel at the altar or sit at one of these seats. If you're not able to kneel and just call on the Lord and thank him for all that he's done and just tell him that you need strength and you need help and you're looking to him and trusting in him to meet your need today, and he'll do that. Father, I do thank you that you're able to meet our every need. Thank you for the Bible, the Word of God. Thank you that it never changes. Thank you it's all we'll ever need. Thank you that Christ never changes. He's all we ever need. You've seen the hands, you know the hearts, and there may be some that need to slip out and talk to you for a few moments down here today. And if there's someone here today that has not trusted Christ, would you help them to slip out and come and have that courage and that faith and say, yes, this is the day I want to trust him. I want to make sure of my salvation. And so help them to do this. May what is accomplished be for your glory. We'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Let us stand while we sing.